Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we want to just praise your name and just give you glory today. We want to accept the cup of salvation with trembling and offer praises of thanksgiving from our hearts and from our lips. We pray you would lead us by your Spirit as we open your word for a moment, as we raise our voices to you, and then as we pray. So may we be led by your Spirit, and may we respond as you would have us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, working our way kind of backward, but now forward in the Psalms, we're Psalm 4 today, and it's kind of Psalm 3 and 4 are kind of a coupling. They were both written at the same time when David was fleeing from Absalom's rebellion. And Psalm 3 is a mourning hymn, as we talked about last week. And thou art a shield about me and the lifter of my head. And Psalm 4 is an evening hymn. So one kind of tells us how to begin the day, and the other kind of tells us how to end the day. So I thought we would begin today in singing Psalm 3, since I didn't sing it last week. And we have still the same theme, basically, in here, in chapter 4, He is a reliever, he is a lifter in our distress. Have mercy on me, hear my prayer. And so let's just sing this familiar praise song again. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, you're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. And in simplicity, the Lord is so awesome. Just the very simple, in a sense, words there in that little praise song, and yet it just speaks to me anyway, so much greater than a great oratorial address and with all the pomp and circumstances of man, which doesn't go anywhere. And this is just power, isn't it? I think it is. Well, today as we continue on in Psalm 4, remember now, this is the psalm for the evening, the psalm for the evening. This is to be thought about at the end of the day, where Psalm 3 was at the beginning of the day. And we have for the first time in the Psalms to the chief musician. Now, if you spend a little time in looking back in Chronicles, you will see the heart of David, who had such a desire. It seems like just we got to praise the Lord. We've just got this outpouring of love for the Lord. We've just got to make it. We've got to make it in song. And so he's establishes these various issues, these various teams, so to speak, of the song and worship and their symbols. And it says we're going to prophesy through our symbols and through our harps. And he's got those all laid out, and so, as well as the priests in the order, all to be implemented in the new temple, which will be built after his death. And so here's the first, interesting to me, of 55 assignments that we see by David to be sung by the chief musician. So this is the grand choir master now of the various choirs in Israel would sing this. This is kind of a command. Here is what you sing, and it's to be sung with the stringed instruments, and here is the song. Hear me when I call. Hear me when I call. Who's he addressing? O God of my righteousness. Now, in the sixth verse of Psalm 2, we had this same kind of Hebrew thing there. It said, upon Zion, the hill of my holiness, and it's really translated my holy hill. So this is the same thing. O God of my righteousness should be translated for us anyway in English, my righteous God. There's no self-righteousness here in God. It's all his righteousness. So it's O God of my righteousness, or O my righteous God. So hear me when I call, O my righteous God. Isn't that a good way to begin a prayer? I think it is. And now he starts to continue to pour out his soul before the Lord. You will see about 8 personal pronouns in these first few verses. You have relieved me in my distress. Relieve means to enlarge, provide a way out, protection. But you know, when we get in a difficult time, it's kind of like everything's pressing in on us, right? It's just pressing in on us, just trying to squeeze us. But here he's relieving me. He's enlarging me in my distress. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Have mercy on me. What an outpouring statement of grace there. Have mercy on me. Don't judge me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Mercy, not giving me what I deserve. And then hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. Now, it's not that the Lord is deaf. It's not that the Lord doesn't already even know what you're going to pray. But this is giving David and giving us, when we say, hear my prayer, it's our acknowledgement that he is hearing our prayer and he will hear our prayer. And so if he's hearing my prayer, I should be praying as led by the Spirit, right? I shouldn't just be ratting off a bunch of gibberish and say, Lord, hear my gibberish, because that's not what we want to be doing. And that was now verse 1, where he's crying out to the Lord. And now verses 2 to 5, he's expressing his strong disapproval of those enemies, of Absalom and all those people that want to kill him. You know, he's got thousands that are to kill him right now in this particular circumstance in his life. A good king has no reason to be hated, no reason to be lied about, but Absalom's spreading lies and so forth, and so he's got a big following. It's kind of like what we see in governments today, right? We'll have a good government, and we have a whole bunch of howling dogs trying to kill them, right? Even seeing this week in a couple of statements by one of our congressmen against our president, saying he should be arrested, he should be killed, or he should be at least put in solitary confinement. I mean, it's crazy. But it's the same thing here. These guys are after David. They want to kill him. They want to see the kingdom turned over to to Absalom, his, in a sense, worthless son. He's not a spiritual man. He wants to kill his father and take over the kingdom. So we see here then, how long, O you sons of men, you enemies of mine, will you turn my glory to shame? He's a man after God's own heart, and they're saying, oh, he's worthless and he's no good and so forth. How long will you love worthlessness, you enemies, and seek falsehood? And isn't that true of the world? They love this empty vanity. They love, you know, the Miss America contest or Mr. America contest or whatever they are. It's just all vanity, right? There's nothing to it, or the Emmys or the, what are those other things, the statues. I can't even remember what they are, but anyway, doesn't matter. You love worthlessness and seek falsehood. The enemies of the Lord do not seek truth. They seek lies. They seek falsehood. Oh, have you heard this one? Oh, it's not true. Well, yeah, but have you heard it? It's really great, you know. Verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart, or made wonderful, another translation, know that the Lord has set apart or sanctified or made wonderful for what? For himself, him who is godly. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We know we have in 2 Chronicles 16:9 there, for what? The eyes of the Lord run through and fro the whole earth to show his heart loyal to those who fear him. And so it's the same kind of a thing here, it seems to me. Know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. And now a statement of confidence and trust and faith in him again. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Do you believe that? Believe it. It's true. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Now, we continue on with this same discussion here with the really keeping the angry or keeping the unbelievers in the background, these enemies of David. So he says, be angry, and that's an interesting translation there, because that word can mean stand in awe. Stand in awe, do not sin. So it has that aspect to it. There, it is also used as an anger and a rage term, so it's not mistranslated. But I like the stand in awe a little better than be angry, because it just strikes me a little bit more that I can understand it, I think. And do not sin. Now, this very phrase was translated or was given by Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church, right? In chapter 4. Be angry and do not sin. And then he adds to it, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So as preparatory of your evening prayer here, you want to make sure as you think back on the day and as you think of where you are right now, are there anger issues that need to be resolved before the sun? You want to unload those every day, not carry them over because of what the bile and stuff that it kind of creates in us. Be angry and do not sin. And then the next thing, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. This is just such a great way of going to bed. When you go to bed, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Maybe you've time to rest your jaw a little bit, talked all day. Maybe you want to just listen to the Lord. Be still. Meditate on your heart, on your bed, and be still. Still. Continuing on with what to do to be prepared in this evening prayer. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. As we live rightly, offering our lives as a living sacrifice, we want to cease evil. We want to do good. And putting our trust in the Lord, or I put it in here, put your trust in the cross. Put your trust in the cross and know what he has done for you, because he is trustworthy, is he not? He has demonstrated his love for us there and paid the price. Now, verses 6 to 8, we have a delightful contrast of the man of God to his enemies. And it's just a beautiful idea here. There are many who say, these are the enemies now, these are the unbelievers, who will show us any good? They're interested in seeing, they're not interested in believing. Oh, I want to see a miracle. I want to see a miracle. I want to see a miracle. And we get so excited about seeing miracles. But what we really need to be doing is to be believing. We need to be trusting in the Lord when we don't see anything. I mean, a fool can believe when he sees a great miracle, but he won't remember it, and he won't give God the credit for it. And 2 minutes later, he'll say, well, show us a miracle. They kept telling Christ, show us a miracle, show us a miracle, show us a miracle. They didn't believe, or they wouldn't believe, but they wanted to see things. So who will show us any good? And now, listen to this. Lord, lift up the light of your face, or lift up the light of your countenance upon us. David is saying, just smile at me, Lord. And in the Aaronic benediction, that's exactly what he says, isn't it? Tell the people this, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God is saying, that's who I am. So we're crying out now, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put, or you have caused, is another way of translating that. You have caused gladness in my heart. You have gladness in your heart for the Lord that has been put there by him. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness, or you've caused gladness in my heart. And how does it compare? More than in the season that their grain and wine increased. Now, the high point in the year of the unbeliever there in that culture was harvest time. When they brought in the harvest, that was the big day. And what David is saying is, any day in my humble relationship with God is greater than the greatest day of the unbeliever with their best day of their lives. And that's really true, isn't it, when we think about what's important. More than in the season of their harvest, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. And now the final, lay me down to sleep, prayer here. Verse 8, the evening prayer. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. When you hit the pillow, think about the day. Think about the things that maybe were amiss. Get that right with the Lord. And just ask for the Lord's peace to come upon you. I always ask, almost always. I didn't last night, and I had this kind of bad dream right away. But I always say, Lord, no dreams unless they're from you, right? I think that's a good thing to ask for. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. And sleep. That's the time of refreshment and restoration. You know, we say sleep like a baby. I think even sleep better than babies. Babies always wake up that I know of, usually sometime during the night. But whether we wake up or whether we don't, maybe we wake up and meditate. That's what we want to do even when we lie down or when we wake up. That's why I love what people call jet lag. I love it. I like to wake up, pray, and just, you know, you're not on a clock, so who cares what time it is? Anyway, it's great. I both will lie down in peace and sleep. Why? For you, or for you only, or for you alone. You alone, Lord. You only, Lord, what? Make or cause me dwell in safety. He is the one. He's the one who makes me dwell in safety because he is watching over me. I mean, you've just got this creator of the universe taking care of you. If you will just listen to him and turn yourself over to him, but stop fighting the battle on your own strength, because you can't do that. So it's a great evening song here. For you alone, for you only, O Lord, cause me to dwell in safety. And you're asleep. Father, we thank you for all of your word. We thank you for these precious psalms, so filled with emotion and so filled with applications for us, as we can sense David, not to the degree of having the enemies that he had, but we have the resistance. We have the enemies, each one of us, coming against you and coming against what is right. And so help us to heed these words. And now, Lord, we're not actually going to lie down and sleep, but we do want to pray. And so lead us in this time. We can pray for the church. We can pray for the nation. We can pray as you would prompt us to pray, in Jesus' name. Let's pray.